Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for your holy presence which is here among us. We thank you. You say, we're two or more gathered together in your name, you are in the midst. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in our midst. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us. Come and be with us. Come, Lord God, because we need you. We need you today. We needed you yesterday, and we'll need you tomorrow. So show up for us again, Lord God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and let my words be your words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, because we are your refuge. You are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And my sermon title today is Mission Ready. You know, the song we're going to sing after the preach word says, guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. This thing called following Christ is something we don't want to run in vain, do we? Because what's the use? We certainly could do other things, right? There's a lot of people doing other things. And then it goes on, it says, hold my hand while I run this race. And then stand by me while I run this race. I'm your child while I run this race. Search my heart while I run this race. And then guide my feet while I run this race. Because we want Jesus to be with us. We need him to be with us in this race. And now, picture yourself starting a brand new project. You know, we might want to call it mission. You know, in a parish where most of the communications were government workers, civilian and military, you know, I was always hearing the word mission. Folks are going on mission. I had understood mission in a religious context. I learned that mission could have a broader meaning. Life is a mission. Business is a mission. Career is a mission. Mission is a good word. It suggests vision that is supported by good planning. And then we have to understand what our mission is. We have to define our mission clearly. State its purpose briefly. Write the rules for implementing it that will be your business plan that makes your mission ready. You know, oftentimes in the church we say mission statement. And sometimes if we really look at our mission statement and analyze it, it has nothing to do with how we're operating as a church anymore. A mission statement should be looked at all the time, at least every year. Because a mission statement that we wrote 60 years ago, 80 years ago, may not hold up for what the context is now. Do you know that? A mission statement should be addressed and looked at. And are we living in our mission? Are we living into our mission? Are we doing what we say we ought to do? Is our intentions the same or is our intentions different? Right? It's like a marriage, isn't it? This mission. Sometimes marriage falls apart because of the way you start off and what you plan to do. 20 years later, somebody is over here and somebody else is over there, and the two shall not meet. You know what I'm talking about. The mission has changed. Right? The mission, one person's on their own mission. I've been there, done that. I know the drill. Somebody else is on another mission over here. And your mission is going one way and the other person. And because of that, things don't work out. It's the same in the church. The mission has to be focused. It has to be focused on the Lord. The gospel is about mission. That's how Jesus intended. It's about mission. St. Mark has a way of zeroing in on the basics. Mark Gospels. He's very brief and to the point. Let's get the picture. Jesus sets up a pilot test, a pilot project. He's going to test. You know, when he called these disciples and these folks, it was a pilot project. Because guess who was going to continue the mission for the rest of our lives? Guess who was going to continue? We are. So this was a pilot project. Do you know the gospel and calling, the sending out the 72 and send calling the 12 and then calling and sending was all a pilot project? How are these folks going to do? He wants to test how well his brand new on-the-job trainees can take instructions and make them work. In this gospel, we see him giving them a lesson on some very basic matters. Could you remember, Jesus himself would say in Luke 4, 18 to 19, not in the text, but it's in the Bible, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He said this verse speaks of the Messiah's ministry of preaching and healing to meet every human need. Jesus knew his mission, friends. He knew the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That's the beginning of Luke. And he knew he was called to do certain things. And from that moment on, Jesus was busy performing his mission. What is mission? It is said that it is a vocation of calling of a religious organization, for example, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. It's amazing that the kids are doing Fishers of Men today or last week, because that's what we're called to do. And even though Jesus was working hard, working diligently, Scripture tells us that they rejected him in his hometown. Now, friends, don't think or believe that because we're doing the Lord's work, everybody's going to love what we're doing. Right? Let's not be naive to believe that, because the Scripture reminds us that Jesus went home, he went home to his country, and they rejected him. It says he left there and returned to his hometown. His disciples came along, and he gave a lecture on the Sabbath. And the folks said, from the Message Bible says as well, he says, "We had no idea he was this good." These are Christian, not, they're not Christian people now. They're Jews. They're going to become Christians, but they're in the synagogue. They're church folks. Can you imagine them all? Jesus is lecturing, and they're talking about him. Don't feel bad if folks talk about you. It's okay. We're in good company. The Message Bible does it. It's a mother reading. He says, "We had no idea he was this good," they said. "How did he get so wise all of a sudden, get such ability?" You know, they'll say that about you. All of a sudden, you says you're following Jesus and you're full with the Holy Spirit, and people says, "What's her problem? I knew when she used to hang out at the bar." So everybody ever said that? I don't know if some of you didn't. They haven't been to the bars, but they'll say that, or the clubs, or wherever. But in the next breath, they were cutting him down. They said, "He's just a carpenter, Mary's boy." Sometimes people have a way to say, "You didn't go to seminary, or could you tell people about Jesus?" Right? "You haven't passed the test. How could you tell?" You know, I always say going to seminary and all of that is all requirements and a lot of money. You know, it's requirement and a lot of money. But it doesn't make you filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? It's a soul that says yes to the Lord. And we could all do it if we say yes to the Lord. He says, "We have known him since he was a kid. We know his brothers, James and Justice and Jude and Simeon and his sister. Who does he think he is?" Message Bible. You should read it sometimes.
Very good. It breaks it down. Sometimes you can't read what it says because it really gets on. And so they go on and they're talking about him. And Jesus told them, a prophet has little honor in his hometown. Among his relatives, on the streets, he played in as a child. Nothing stopped him from that mission. Nothing stopped him from serving the Lord. And sometimes I think in the church, you know, we get our backs up. Listen, people tell me off, and I have to tell people off. I have to respond. And guess what? We keep serving the Lord. We get over. I get letters. I get things. They're anonymous. They talk about me, tell me bad things, good things, mostly bad things. I read them, and I says to God be the glory. Right? I'm in good company. I read them, and I think, and you're no good, pastor, and you did such and such, and you're no good. And whoever who's sending it, I said, they are perfect people. God, you found some perfect people. But you're using me, the imperfect one. Amazing, isn't it? And Lord knows I'm imperfect and full of bruises. But yet God chose to use all of us, imperfect people, young people. He's looking for a young man and a young lady to use. And guess what? He doesn't care what has happened in our past or what we're doing now. He just wants us to say what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Says he doesn't even have a memory. Jesus says, the scripture tells us that he's going to take whatever we have done when we have asked for forgiveness and living for him. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. What a Lord. What a Savior. If it wasn't for that kind of those words and a Savior who's forgiven, none of us here is worthy to serve the Lord. Not one of us. Is there one? Is there anyone without sin? Cast the first stone. You remember when they were beating up on that woman who was a prostitute? You know the story, right? Even Dick is willing to be served the Lord. God will make it right for Dick. I tell Marlena, let him be. God chooses to use us. And as they bent down and they were what? With the prostitute throwing stones at her. Jesus looked at all those men who were at the time they were going to stone. And he says, as he was marking in, is there anyone without sin? And the Bible says when he looked up, what happened? They were gone. Because there was none, not one of us, without sin. Imperfect people that we are. And so Jesus never stopped doing his mission. He kept going. Jesus called the 12 to him, and he sent them out in pairs. And those men were imperfect. Oh Lord, they were fishermen. They were drinking, cussing fishermen. You know, Peter was a cussing fisherman. Read Peter's story. You know, when they're hanging out down at the water, catching sea lions, as the little young boy says. As he said, you know, we're catching sea lions and whatever we're catching and whale, right? They were living as their job. You know what I'm saying? We come to church on Sunday and we all sit here and I say, but some of us, I used to work in corporate and some things they were saying in corporate office, Lord knows, good thing we went to church on Sunday to clean us up for that hour. You know what I mean? Good thing we show up at church. If they had a tape there, Jesus was keeping track, he wouldn't be using any of us. Right? But he does. He called these 12. That means he'll call us for the mission. And I want to get to the point I want to. He sent them off with their instructions in the simplest terms. And the basic are, avoid excess, use time wisely, and respond. Don't react. Now, you know, this mission Jesus put the disciples on, he really was laying out the basics. Right? This is how the missionary program came about. What did he say here? When I said the first point, avoid excess. He says, for in essence, the message Bible says, don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. Because it's not about the stuff, you see. Right? You are the equipment. I am the equipment. Jesus doesn't need all the stuff. He needs us to work in us and work through us, and then everything else will be provided. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. So then I was telling Jesus last night, I said, times have changed. We have to make appeals for funds now. Because now we are in a church, buildings. We have to maintain. The disciples were itinerant. And they were going from place to place, right? and no luxury inns, says the Message Bible. You can't stay at the five-star hotels. Friends, who like, we all like to do that, don't we? You got to get one of those little days in. Don't want to knock days in. They're good days in, but whatever they are. Got to get one of those. You can't stay at a fancy place. You gotta go lay on Zamzam's floor next door. Get a cot or something. Keep moving. He says, get a modest place and be content there until you leave. And then use the time wisely. If someone doesn't welcome you, Jesus says, don't fight. Don't argue. What? Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Don't get into an argument. I say to people now that I see come to the church and they come in and they say, oh, it's a lovely church and I'd like to be involved and I'd like to join. And then you don't see them. After I call them one or two times, guess what? I'm done. You can't make people serve God. You can't nag them to death. And I know how to nag. You know, we all know how to nag. We have nagged somebody. Every woman in here have nagged a man, and every man in here have nagged a woman. We know how to nag till people run away. But you don't want to nag them into the church, right? They won't pick up your call when you call them. You got to come to church today. Yes, you can. So Jesus says, just keep moving after you've done what you've done. You know, don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders, the Message Bible says, and be on your way. And they began to do the work of the Lord. Now here's what I want to tie this in with, is with Paul's saying. The mission had started, and the mission would be one fantastic mission. I was going to use another word and I caught myself. One fantastic mission, that the Lord, they'd be on for the Lord. They would have ups and downs. They had Jesus with them throughout the Gospels, the four Gospels. And then guess what? Acts of the Apostle came. The Holy Spirit would come upon the disciples before Acts for a purpose, just to bring them through. And now I figured it all out. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples right before, a little bit before Acts. You'll read it in one of the Gospels, I think it's John, because God was giving them the inner strength to what? For the crucifixion. Because they didn't know about it was going to be. The crucifixion was coming, so the 12 got the Holy Spirit that day in the Gospel so that they could survive, hold on to the what was going to happen until the resurrection. But then after Jesus was ascended, the Holy Spirit came upon folks, all the people, me and you and everybody else who were here. And then they would get started. But it wasn't easy. Peter and John was going to be thrown into jail. You know, Paul would have folks stone Stephen to death. All kinds of stuff happened. That the early church was being what? Put upon and killed and murdered. But Paul would say, this is for us as we go through. And Wes, it reminds us, me and you today, the great work your wife did all these years for the Lord. And then God chose to take her, and we don't quite get it. We don't never understand. Last night I saw on the news a family, very Christian Filipina family, coming from New Jersey, coming from a vacation, and five of them killed in a van. Somebody crossed the divide and killed five family members. Only the wife, she's a nurse. And one of her brother-in-law said, I don't know what she's going to do when she comes out. Her husband and her four daughters were killed, and they were devout Christians. How do a pastor have words for that today and yesterday? But you go back to Paul, and all you could say, Paul says, I've had a thorn in my flesh, and I prayed about it three times. I asked God. I asked God to move this thorn. I asked God why. And God says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. My grace is enough. As we run this race, we have to be reminded that things are going to happen to us. Paul is going to tell us, here, even though Jesus was rejected, he continued to serve God. And Paul is going to tell us that God's grace is sufficient to bring us through. It doesn't mean that we're in agreement with what has happened. It doesn't mean that we are saying, yes, God, let this happen to me. It's saying his grace is there for you and for me as we go through life's trials. His grace, we could call on him. We could weep to him. He has the church of Jesus Christ as his hands and feet in the world, who is there to love those who are hurting, love those who are in need, love those who need to be loved. And among ourselves, when we're hurting, God's grace is sufficient for us, Wes, in everything. Would we have preferred that something else would have happened? In Wes's case, yes. But now that it's done, we are praying for God's grace, continual grace, to be upon him and to be with him as we would pray for ourselves. It is only God's grace that can bring us through things like this. Yet we continue to do the work, don't we? We continue to serve him because we're called to be on a lifelong mission. Because our hope is the other side, ultimately. That the God who promised to Jesus Christ that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, the God who promised that he'll be with us forever, will guide our feet while we run this race. And he will hold our hand while we run this race. If we don't have him, what are we going to do? And he'll stand by us while we run this race. When I saw that thing last night with those poor little girls, I don't even know the people, I started to cry. I says, God, five of them, holy God, Lord, maybe you should just take the mother. How is she going to make it? My brain says it. My heart was weeping, but I know better. I know that ultimately the answer is God's. And whatever it is, he's going to bring her through. Whatever it is, whatever his choice. We know sometimes it gets very hard for non-believers or people who are struggling with faith, who says, how can a good God let bad things happen? But the world is full with evil and sin, and things happen. I'll never understand it. But what I do understand and know is that the Lord is with us. Paul says he never received his healing, whatever it was. Never received it. But he says, for in his weakness, there is power. He's made perfect in his weakness. We're not there yet, many of us, to say, when I'm going through trials, I'm going to be what? Stronger in my weakness. But Paul reminds us this day. Paul says, so I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Right? He realized, you know, Paul wrote 2/3 of the Old Testament, and do you know he was beheaded? In Rome, Paul was beheaded. He was martyred for Christ. One would say, God, why would you have him martyred? But he had done his work, and he was martyred for Christ. Friends, today we continue the mission of the church because we need to be here to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And whether we like it or not, we need to know that, guess what? We're just passing through, all of us. All we pray to the Lord for is for length of years, health and strength and length of years. But we're just passing through. And when we get to the other side, God will be with us. Amen. God will be with us. That's the promise. That's the hope. And so we're going to sing, "Guide my feet
while I
run this race." Amen.